Listen.
All right. Welcome back. Second hour. I want to say this about the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We've been 18 years. This fall, September, we'll hit 18 years. We're in our 18th year. This is a ministry, when somebody says, well, what's your ministry about? It's about the Word. Okay? It's teaching the Word with a practical Christian living, applying it to our lives, and accepting everyone. We have straight people. We have married people. We have gay people. We have black people. We have white people. We have brown people. We have Hispanic people. We have young. We have old. We have people in the middle. Anyone is welcome. And that is what we are all about. In my church that I first pastored in Indiana in 1985, it began, bought a building. We put a claw across the top of it in big, huge red styrofoam letters. Jesus loves, accepts. Wait a minute. Jesus loves, accepts, and forgives all. And that's what we are. It's the acceptance of God for you. It's God loves you. God forgives you. Come and be who you are. Come and let us experience getting to know you. Believe me, we are a friendly bunch, PJ. Aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And if we aren't, they know that this mama pastor's going to knock them over the head with a 2x4, right?
Oh, amen.
I do mention it a lot that we want to be friendly. And we're also having a salad, deli sandwich, dessert lunch for anybody who wants to stay and join us next Sunday right after the service, mm-hmm. right there in our facility. We always have great lunches. We do it once a month. It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And there's always more than enough food.
Exactly. And June 14th or 15th, whatever that Saturday is, I don't know the date exactly, we will be having, it's on a Saturday, we're going to be having a great day at Honeymoon Island, little picnic time, and we're going to baptize. So put that on your calendar if you know anybody that wants to be water baptized at Honeymoon Island in Dunedin. I believe it's June 14th. I'm not sure. I don't have a calendar in front of me. It's June 14th or 15th, whatever that weekend is. So we'll be doing that for a couple hours in June, mid-June. So put that on your calendar. And we always have a dinner, a picnic. So that might be the picnic for June. We'll see. So anyway, let's get back to this. It's Mother's Day, dear ones. And as a mother of three, and I have to add, don't I, Pastor Jim? I have to add, I'm not just a mother of three. I'm a
grandmother of a multitude.
That was Abraham. Grandmother of 12.
Well, there you go. You got your 12 tribes.
I got my 12. I got 8 boys, 4 girls. And what a joy it is for this grandma, who is always called Nana Florida. It's because some of them live in Indiana, some in Texas. And so I'm the Nana who lives in Florida. So Nana Florida. So anyway, it is a joy, and I love all my kids and grandkids, and they are very, very special to me. And you know, what a joy to be a parent or a grandparent, isn't it? Tell them about your little Grace.
Well, little Grace is a miracle. And I will warn our listeners, be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
Especially around Pastor Marcia.
Why would that be?
I mean, it's true. Some people have anointings for certain things, like anointings for a certain type of healing. You know, some people, God just gives them that special anointing. Well, my daughter had suffered a couple of miscarriages. And so pastor had mentioned that there was a couple in her church in Indiana that tried for years and years. 14 years to have a baby. So pastor just preached this wonderful sermon on faith. And these people came up and asked for prayer that they would, you know, that they would have children. And sure enough, they did. And so word got out that this pastor can help you get pregnant.
not literally, but
you know, we by prayer.
By prayer.
And so we prayed for my daughter, and because there were some medical issues. And she got pregnant, and I now have a grandbaby.
You do, Grace. So sweet, so sweet. And you know what? It's not about me. It's about the fact that we believe in Beacon of Hope. We believe in prayer. We believe in reaching out in faith. We believe in standing on the promises of God and what the Word says about us, that He wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. That's 3 John verse 2. There's only one chapter in the book of 3 John, so it's verse 2. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And as you put your mind to the Word of God, there is no telling what miracles are going to happen in your life. And that's why our new slogan, which is on our front door, where healing happens, is meant for you, dear listener. If you're in our area, come and visit and see what God can do in your life. Whew, we're going to kick this second hour off with this song, The Word is Alive by Casting Crowns. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that, Pastor Jim? The Word is alive. Everything we've been studying today in Psalm 91, that's alive? What does that mean?
That means it gives life. It's alive, and it gives us life. I mean, writer of Hebrews says the Word of God is living and active. It's alive. It's not, when we read the Bible, it's not like reading a novel. I mean, novels can inspire us, but the Word of God is God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is God breathed. God put His life into the Word. And as we eat it, it's like partaking of the manna in the wilderness.
Yes.
We partake of God.
Yes.
It's like in the tabernacle, you had to set 12 loaves out right in front of that little veil in front of the Holy of Holies. So they like soaked up God's glory.
Soaked it up.
For a whole week.
Woo!
And then
that'll preach.
You know, the high priest and, you know, his sons, you know, the priest would come in once a week and eat those 12 loaves. Mm-hmm. They would commune with God that way. And that's
we
got to
eat the Word.
Exactly.
Thy words were found at Jeremiah 15:16, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Mm-hmm. The Word is alive.
Looking out from His throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make Himself known and show us the way back to Him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, He began to unveil the Word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the Word is alive.
Alive, and it
I wrote some of those words down. The word is alive, and it cuts through the darkness with a message of hope to the hopeless, breathing life to all who will believe. Whoa, that's powerful.
And you know, that ties in with some comments that were made in the first hour.
Yes, very much so.
About having hope. And,
yes.
You know, the word gives hope.
Mm.
And the word, you know, that sums up. It's alive. I mean, it's God's progressive revelation of himself.
And that's what Psalm 91 is. Moses writing this right before the children of Israel start walking around the same mountain for 40 years, right? That is amazing to me, that he's already got this revelation of who God is. That no matter what they go through, they're going to be okay. They're going to come out of it all right. Who would have thought at that point, unless God said, 40 years, Moses, here you go. No, but I mean, imagine he didn't know how long this was going to, he would have to endure this, walking around the same mountain. Don't you think he didn't know?
I don't think he knew until the day that the people rebelled against God, against
right.
Moses and against God, when the ten spies gave their bad report.
Right.
I don't think Moses had an inkling until God said, okay, you were in that land for 40 days.
Right.
As your punishment, you're going to go around this mountain for
40 years.
Because you did not believe.
That's right.
And that's the whole thing here.
Right.
The contrast is you're protected if you believe. You're out on your own if you don't.
That's it. That's it right there. I love that you summed it up like that. Because that is our message today on Mother's Day, right? So for people that get out of fellowship with their own mother, right? And that happens from time to time. There's hurt, there's pain, there's resentment. You just wish it wasn't that way. You know, you wish you were okay with mom and mom okay with you, right? But it's the same with God. It's the same with God. People that run from God, there's got to be a part of them, Jim, that says, man, I wish I was okay with God. I wish God was okay with me. Don't you think? Talked about that.
Especially that last part.
Yeah.
I know when I was running, and I can't help but have that song, that old, old Randy Stonehill song running through my head. Keep me running, keep me moving, keep me numb from head to toe.
Whoa.
And I went through that. I mean, I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but
right.
some stuff happened, and I just got mad at God and walked away, and he let me go for a little while. I mean, God's like that. You know, he'll say, okay,
do your own thing for a while. Little rebellious
and,
child.
Yeah, and like the prodigal, I got out there, and it's like, oh, man, this bites.
Right. You know? It's not easy
doing your own thing. Yeah, here I am eating pods with the pigs. You know, and yet he was there the entire time, and there was still something. I mean, it's funny. A lot of things happened, and I went through divorce at that time. But the one thing I had to keep, and I still have it after all these years, is a wide margin New American Standard Bible that I bought in 1978. I could let everything else go.
I have one just like yours.
Yeah, I could let everything else go.
But you had to have that Bible.
I had to have that Bible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And believe it or not, that was the only Bible I had at that time.
Now, 158 Bibles later.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, even there was that little bit of me that knew that I had to stay in touch somehow, and that was kind of my touch point. And little by little, once you've tasted the good things of God, you can try and run. And unfortunately, some people do keep running, but it's like I remembered, man, my life was so much better when I was walking with the Lord, because I could surrender everything. I could walk in safety.
Right. You know, you recently lost your dad. I lost my dad in 2007, my mom in 2012. And I remember walking out of her assisted living where she passed away, And my nephew Jason and I, we were the last to leave, and everybody else in the family left. And we were, I was in my car, and they, the funeral home had picked up her body and all that. And Jason came to the window to me, and he said, because I'm the oldest of three girls, two sisters I have, and he said, "You're now the matriarch." And I thought, that's weird, you know? I didn't feel old enough to be the matriarch, you know? But God has given me many opportunities since my mom passed to be able to be there for nieces and nephews, children, grandchildren, and to fulfill that role that my mom did fulfill, you know? And I say all that to say, on this, in this earthly realm, we're limited. But with God as the mother nature, the matriarch, the one where we gather under his wings, right? And he takes care of us, and he just watches over us. It's so beautiful to know that that's his nature, not just our earthly nature, but that's who he is. El Shaddai, the more than enough, the all bountiful one. He's more than enough.
Right, right.
And I thought that day when Jason said that to me, wow, you're giving me some responsibility there. And actually, as the years have gone on, I have had to do some things as matriarch and be there for some nieces and nephews, let alone my own kids and grandkids. And it is with joy that I do that. And if it's with joy for me, an earthly person, how about God?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to talk because I'm crying.
Okay. Well, and I mentioned this, and that came to me this morning, and I mentioned it before the show, in Isaiah chapter 66, starting with verse 12. "For this is what the Lord says," talking about Jerusalem, "I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried in her arm and dandled on her knees." I love that.
Dandled
on her knees.
Okay.
"As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you."
Right.
"And you will be comforted over Jerusalem."
Woo.
And Isaiah was speaking prophetically.
Yes.
To the Jewish nation prior to them going into the captivity in Babylon. And he's saying, you know what? I'll comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem. So whatever's happening, God says he'll comfort you.
Yes.
And no matter what the bad situation is.
That's the mother nature of God.
That's God says, "I will comfort you."
Oh, it's so true. What happens when a baby, I was just recently in Indiana for the second visit with my youngest grandbaby, Dawson, and he's about 5 months old almost already. And you know, he doesn't hardly ever cry. But if he is kind of fussy, what's the nature? What do you want to do? I mean, I'd want to pick him up. As his grandmother, I want to hold him. I want to put him up. And my grandson, Joel, when I took care of him a lot because his mother was in the hospital for quite a while,
right,
there, a few days after Joel was born. And she suffered some serious illness. And so it was my son, Mark, and Joel and I. And it was like I had to fulfill that role. His mother couldn't do it. And it was for just a few days. But still, it's that bonding that happens, that mother nature where you just want to hold them and comfort them. You don't want them to cry. You don't want them to be hungry. You get a bottle or, you know, whatever it is, or breastfeed, whatever it is. And you nurture them. And that's our loving Heavenly Father. That's who he is.
Oh, exactly. Well, and, you know, I like those scriptures because, and then I think of, going back to Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort ye my people.
Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he's the God of all comfort.
Comfort.
Verses 2 and 3, he comforts us with the comfort that we have received, and we give it away.
Right.
That's what it's all about, right?
Well, and God rarely gives us, well, I don't think he gives us anything he does not expect us to
give away.
You know,
even our finances, everything. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
plant
our blessings,
seed.
God doesn't bless us so we can hoard it.
Right.
He blesses us so we can give it.
Give it.
He saved us so we can talk to others that they can be saved. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit and given us the gifts of the Spirit, not so we can hoard them, because then what good are they?
Right.
But so that we can use them to show forth His glory.
It's the same with this new facility, Jim. We are not putting all this money, time, blood, sweat, and tears, almost not blood, but sweat and tears into this, just so it's a nice, pretty place. And we say, oh, we got a nice, pretty place to hang out once in a while. It's so that we can bring people into a saving knowledge of God so that they can be healed emotionally. You know, we sang that song this morning, Soul on Fire by Third Day. My son Ryan sings that. And man, he's got a voice like the guy at Third Day.
Mac Powell.
Oh my. Oh my. And when he sings that, my son, it goes all through me. And this morning when we sang it, Soul on Fire. That's what God wants to be for us. He wants to turn us from just being ordinary people into being mighty warriors. I'm starting a series next week, and it's about this. And so it's kind of eking out right now about leaving the ordinary behind and becoming the super ordinary, becoming everything God has for us to be and become. And PJ, so many people don't understand God has a plan for their lives. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bless you, give you future, give you hope. Not plans for to destroy you. Mothers don't wake up and say, I want to destroy my kids today. No. That would be a mentally ill person.
Right.
Not a sane person. Sane person wants the best for their children.
And God wants the best for us. There was that old Stormy O'Mardian song, I'm Believing for the Best in You. Remember that one? And that's, I think that's the attitude that we need to recapture. And I'm just going to add this little side note in. I can't wait to get started on this new series of yours.
Oh, me too. Ours, yours and mine.
Because
starts Wednesday night, June 5th. You've got to come and be a part of this Bible study.
We have settled for the ordinary too long.
Yes. You know, you're talking about my Sunday series. But it bleeds into our Wednesday night series, which is called Resurrection Now and Forever.
Right. And, you know, you look at the, well, I think Mike said it this morning, our newcomer. You know, he just couldn't find a place where it was happening. I forget his exact terms, but it's like
he elaborated on that at lunch, and that was really good to hear.
I want
to
be. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to go to church.
Right.
I want to go where God is.
You know? Amen. Praise God, Lord. I need you. There is no distance. Hit the wrong button, didn't I? Yep.
We got a ways to go.
Had the wrong
yet,
one potted up. My fault. Lord, I need you. Who sings this, PJ?
Matt Maurer, I think.
Okay.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Pray together. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. That old hymn, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. And I love that song. Lord, we just thank you for the beautiful music that you have planted in the hearts of musicians around the world that speak to who you are, to speak to our needs that we each have. Lord, we each have a space in our heart that is put there by you, and the only thing that will ever satisfy that space is relationship with you, mighty God. It's the only thing that's going to fill that. For our listeners right now, Lord, scattered around the globe, some we hear from once in a while, some we never do. Lord, you know where they are, you know who they are, and you know the space that's in their hearts also. And Lord, let this show and others like it, let it lead people to a desire to have you so strongly in their lives that their lives are forever changed as they yell out, cry out, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense is the righteousness of you, so I can be in right standing with you because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I claim right now, Lord, that countless numbers of people around the globe will reach out to you, mighty God, this day and say, Lord, I need you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm just not able to do it. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm sick. Whatever it is that you're going through, dear listener, God hears your cry. Talk to him. You need him, and so do PJ and I. We need him. And so, Lord, we just thank you for meeting the needs of our listeners in a supernatural way. Impress upon their hearts their need to get in the Bible and read the Word. Impress upon their hearts their need to talk to you, commune with you, have a relationship with you. Lord, work on their hearts right now, wherever they are. Whether they listen live today or clear some other time on podcast, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for music. We thank you for the ability to share your truths on the air. Never gets old. We love it every week.
Mm-hmm.
You get the glory and the praise, mighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Talk to us, PJ.
Well, it never does get old. I mean, and that's, you know, we kind of talked earlier about taking in the Word every day. Well, kind of like this. This doesn't get old. I mean,
12 years.
I love talking about the Word.
We're our 13th year on the air every single Sunday afternoon. The amount of money that has been spent to plant the seed of God's Word is quite a bit. But you know what? It's worth every penny, PJ. Worth every penny.
It is. It is. And like you said, we don't know. We don't often hear from people that listen on the radio. Sometimes we do. And sometimes we'll get prayer requests from people that listen. But we know that people listen. They've told us. And it's, if one person per Sunday hears something that helps to change their life, then it's worth it. It's worth coming in here. I mean, I pray that when I'm in here, and you know, when we're in here together, that it's not just talk, that it's life. And that's like when, like, say when you're gone or whatever, and I'm going to preach, I always ask the Lord, I don't want to just stand up there and spout knowledge. I want to give life. And I believe that's what this show does, because we're pretty down to earth. I mean, we share our life experiences, and we take what we know to be alive, the Word, and cook it up and serve it on a platter.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
We want the Word of God to become alive in your life like it is in ours. That's what Beacon of Hope's all about. It's what it's always been about. And we've had times where we were bigger and times where we were very small and times where we felt somewhat discouraged and whatever. But you know what? We're not in that season. We're in a new season. And we're in a season of blessing, showers of blessing. That old song, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And that's where we are with Beacon of Hope right now. It's showers of blessing. Come on, Lord, rain it down.
Mm-hmm.
Let your Holy Spirit so move in our services and in our radio shows that people come to Jesus, that they desire Jesus, that they desire a change in their life, that they're not content to be the same old way they've always been. In Psalm 91, I love verse 14, and we didn't get all through all this. There's so much in Psalm 91.
Oh, please. Did you really think we would?
No, I guess I didn't. But verse 14, I love this. These are the words of God to us. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. And then I'll throw you a party. I love that. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. Talk to me about those three verses, PJ. I just love those. This is God. Moses is hearing the heart of God, mm-hmm, as he wrote this.
Well, yeah, and I think the key to all this is verse 14, and I'll read it out of the NIV. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I'll rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Because we return that love to God, he says, good, he longs to be gracious to us. I believe that's Isaiah that says that. He longs to be gracious to us. And he says, if you only love me, I'll rescue you. I'll get you out of those things. And I think these three verses pretty much sum up the entire psalm. He says, you know, I'll protect you because you acknowledge my name. To acknowledge means, you know, not just to know it in your head, but to acknowledge everything that name stands for. And, you know, I've got a little prayer book I use sometimes, praying the names of God, and there are just a bajillion of them. But, you know, understanding, and that, by the way, I would encourage everybody, do a study on those. I mean, you'll just find out some great things about God. But, you know, we acknowledge his name. We acknowledge who he is. And then he says, you'll call on me, I'll answer you. I will be with him in trouble. Now, how many of us have been in trouble and felt terribly alone? Maybe we were abandoned by all our earthly, mm-hmm, human friends. God says, I'll be with you in trouble. I'll be right there. And it's funny, I just read Psalm 23 this morning. You know, even though I walk through the darkest valley, you'll be with me. Your rod and staff will comfort me. God says, again, he kind of echoes that here. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I mean, how many of us think we're worthy of being honored by God? But God says, you know, again, you love me, you walk with me, I will honor you. I will, well, he says in Deuteronomy, as one of the covenant promises, people will know that you are called by the name of the Lord and they're going to fear you. You know, and that's what he's talking about here. People will know, they'll just, we'll have so much of Jesus in us, it'll just.
So from ordinary to super ordinary?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it says, with long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. I know.
With long life, I'll satisfy him. Back up in verse 9. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. What? When we get this mindset change, that we need to hang out, sit, abide, dwell in the presence of Almighty God, that it's more important than some other thing we could be doing, that we are taking time on a daily basis to walk with God, to talk with God. That's why people love that old hymn at funerals. And he walks with me and he talks with me, right? And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. That's that in the garden. You hear that in funeral homes all the time.
And nursing homes.
And he walks with me and he talks to me. And he tells me, you've been so bad. No. Correct the record there, PJ.
And he tells me I am his own.
And the joy we share as we tarry there, not just, hey, how are you doing today? I'll get back to you in a few days. Sunday. Well, Sunday's coming up. Okay, I'll talk to you then. Bye. That's not it. That's not tarrying there.
Well, no, I mean, to tarry means to hang in there, hang with God. And that's what this, you know.
That's Psalm 91 verse 1 saying, right. Hang
in there with God. Spend some time with him, because you think about it on a human level. You do not get to know people if you do not spend time with them. And I will add this. Facebook is not an accurate reflection of who somebody really is.
Not at all.
So, you know, don't go trying to pull a Facebook with God. You know,
have lunch with people. Talk.
Yes.
Look them in the eye.
Yeah.
You and I, the first Sunday you came to Beacon, I said, I want to have lunch with you, right? Back in 2008. I remember sitting across the table from you at Chili's. And you were getting a job, and we prayed about that you would get that job.
And
you got
that
job
that
day. And
still have it. Praise God.
Still have it. And but it's like eating lunch today with Mike and with some of the others from Beacon. And just sitting there and talking about ordinary things, but getting to know each other.
Well, and I told you, I was working on the building yesterday, and Angel's son, Anthony, was there. Anthony, if you're listening, I had a great time talking with you. But we just talked. I mean, Anthony had some great experiences. You know, he just got out of the Army.
4 years
in
Alaska, in the
Army.
Yeah.
And I just got to talking, and it wasn't... We didn't even talk about Jesus or anything. We just talked. And
shared.
Yeah, we just shared shared back and forth what's going on.
Isn't that cool? That's friendship.
Yeah, and it was very nice. And yet, you know, I got friends on Facebook, and I don't know what's really going on. And yet, but when you talk to somebody, when you spend time with them, and that's what God wants for us.
That's it.
We cannot
right there.
Get to know him.
Right.
Unless we spend time with him.
We have to.
And if we don't spend time with him, we're likely to have nasty little preconceptions or erroneous thoughts about who God is.
Well, God's not mean. He's not nasty. He's not punishing you. He loves you. God's not testing you. We did that in James chapter 1. We proved that today. Go back. If that's your mindset, go back to James chapter 1 and realize that God is... Yes, we all in life have testing challenges that happen because we live as in this human body in a corrupt world. And so we are going to have challenges every day. But God does not say, oh, let me throw this great big grenade at so-and-so and blow him up. Or let me give him cancer. God has no cancer in heaven. Or let me throw this pain at them so that they will... They'll realize I'm mad at them, or that's not the heart of God. The ministry of Beacon, and Jim, the more I study getting ready for this new series, the more we've got to impart the heart of our Heavenly Father. And I guess today's show is really kind of a part one, and I didn't even realize it.
It's a segue.
And because God wants us to know how much he loves us, how much he cares about everything going on in our lives, he's not sitting there beating you up or causing someone in your life to die to punish you. That is not what he does.
Right.
That's a lie of the devil.
Well, exactly. And this is not the time or the place, but I'm sure people think, well, what about XXX? Like, what about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? What about destroying the Midianites? What about this? What about that? Read your Bible, because you'll find out they were cruising for a bruising for a long time. I mean, quite honestly. Like I said before, God does not capriciously just, he's not like Zeus. I mentioned this before on the radio, I think. Some people, you know, see God up there with a long white beard, with sitting there with thunderbolts, the kind of that image of a Greek god, supreme god Zeus, ready to throw lightning bolts down at you if you misstep. And that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is not the God of Peter and John and Paul. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is long-suffering, patient, long-suffering, and he loves you. He sent his son to Amen. Die for you.
Amen.
What more? I've said this to a few atheistic friends. What more proof do you need? God sent his son.
And he loves us so much.
You choose to believe in the God of wrath, God of anger, because that gives you an out.
Right.
To not have to deal with the fact that God loves you.
Well, because people don't really want to deal with somebody that loves them unconditionally.
Oh, it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, right? Because, well, I'm mad at God for this, then it feeds our resentments, our bitterness, which human nature tends to want to feed that instead of feed how kindness of God, the goodness of God.
Well, and I think it's scary, too, because to know that he knows all about me and
still loves me unconditionally,
that's incomprehensible.
Right, it is.
On many levels. God's
sure
love is.
Is
incomprehensible. But it's just knowing that he does.
Right.
I don't have to fully understand it in this life. I just need to believe that he does. And know that he does.
We sang at the end of Praise and Worship today a song that we didn't plan on doing, How Great is Our God. And one of those versions goes into, then sings my soul, how great thou art. Mm-hmm. Not that one we did today, but
I couldn't find that one quick enough.
Yeah, but you know what? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. In Spanish, mi corazón entona mi canción, esta canción. And the other day I was talking to Enrique, the head of our radio station in Puebla, and he said, I was telling people in church about when you came and we sang together, mi corazón, how great thou art. Entona la canción, and just how great God is. And when we get that, we love him more. We fall more in love with him. You know, people's relationships, they can deteriorate and they can get into all kinds of things, you know, bitterness, resentment, everything. But when we're constantly falling in love, that we used to do an old song years ago, an old chorus, Cornerstone, I keep falling in love with him. Over and over.
I knew where you were headed.
Over and over again, right? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Wow. PJ, talk a couple minutes and kind of sum this up before I do this song, Give Me Jesus.
Okay. Well, and I just want to say the further lyrics of that song, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And that's true. And that's kind of what Psalm 91 is about. That's what we've been talking about. As you know him, he does get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Not that his love for us can ever increase because it's already infinite.
Right.
But our love for him grows, and our understanding of the greatness of God's love for us grows.
Amen. So just give me Jesus. Danny Gokey, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise,
I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Oh, give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Cause he's all I need. Give me Jesus. When I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me all I need. Oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need.
Praise you,
Jesus.
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 We need you.
Jesus.
Oh, we need you, mighty God. We need you.
It's all I need. It's all I need. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, he's all I need.
Give me Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we need you. Mighty God, we need you. Wrap your arms of love around each of us today. Let our listeners feel your presence. Let us crave your presence. Give me Jesus. I've got to have more of you, mighty God. I'm not content to just occasionally talk to you and to hear from you. I need more of you. Give me Jesus. When I wake him in the morning, when I lay my head on my pillow, every moment of every day, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. Give me Jesus. That's the cry of your heart. Tell him right now. Tell him right now. Perhaps you're one of those out there that knows Jesus and you've been saved, but he's never really come alive in you. God wants us to be souls on fire for him. He doesn't want us to be mediocre. He wants us to be mighty. Mighty in the word, mighty in prayer, mighty in forgiveness, mighty warriors for Almighty God. That's what he wants. So Lord, bless our listeners and let this moment in time be a turning point for them for all eternity. Let their souls come on fire. Let them learn at your feet. Let them sit in your word and bask in your presence. Let them worship you and praise you from the bottom of their hearts. Let them receive Jesus in a fresh new way today. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. I know I already told you the song we were going to end with next week, but I want you to change it to this.
To give me Jesus, yeah, I knew.
This is it.
I knew that.
You felt it too?
Yes, I did.
That song does something to me that other songs just don't do. It's the anointing on that song, knowing that Danny Gokey lost his wife, you know, and all the things this man's gone through. Yet, you can tell that this is his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sing a song like he does, like that, and not be your heart, you know?
Yeah, well, Pastor, again, the Lord quickened in my spirit to say, because I was just thinking, we need to end with that next week.
We got to end with it next week. That's it. That's the song. Because we need Jesus. Our listeners need Jesus. I can't go a day without communing with him. I don't want to. If I get busy, and all of a sudden, so many times I go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been talking to you for a little while here. And you don't even have to do it out loud. It can be in your heart.
Days, I know from experience, my days go much better when I've taken the time in the morning, because I usually don't have a ton of time to pray. I always read my word, and I'll turn on the radio and pray on my way to work. Believe me, that helps me getting down US 19.
I bet. yeah.
But quite honestly, I mean, I can tell when I don't take time to do that, because what would be just a minor, oh, man, I'm giving this to God. It's in his hands. I'm not going to worry about it. On the days when I do spend time with God becomes, you know, just an outrageous crisis if I've not spent time already with
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just being able... Well, and I told you, God, I know we're getting close here, but earlier in the week or last week, I'd been reading through the Psalms, and I was on Psalm 37, fret not because of evildoers. And and I looked at the Psalm as a whole, and I also looked at what some of the stuff in the Amplified, which said for fret, it had don't worry, don't agonize over when evildoers seem to succeed. Mm-hmm. And God says, I already know what's going to happen. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know.
Amen.
And for our listeners, you know, if you just do that, read Psalm 37. Let it become alive to you, because there's so much going on in the world today that we could fret.
Oh, absolutely.
Over, we could agonize over.
We could.
But you know what? I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to agonize, because Scripture says it only leads to evil doing.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, we talked today about the nature of God.
Yeah.
How he longs to be compassionate. He longs to mother us.
He does.
He longs to gather us under his wings, protect us. Let him do that.
Amen. Thank you for those words, Pastor Jim. He's my wonderful associate pastor for the last 8 years and or more. I've lost track. It's just wonderful.
It's been almost, it's been 10 and a half.
Since
I've been coming.
Okay,
to Beacon, so
good 10. So we just appreciate working together, and it works very well. So we welcome you to next Sunday afternoon. Yes, we'll be here on the air live at 3 o'clock, as we always are. But prior to that, at 10 a.m., we will be in our new facility, God willing, and the creek don't rise. 2058. Write it down. 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. Right off of Hercules, right near the little Clearwater Airport, kind of across the street.
Almost.
At an angle. Yeah, between Drew and Sunset Point in Clearwater. You are welcome, and we welcome you to stay for lunch. We're going to have a great salad, deli, sandwich, dessert lunch. So everyone is welcome. Come and bring your friends. Next Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. Believe me, we'll be talking about it when we go on the air at 3 o'clock right here next Sunday afternoon. Betty and Megan will be my radio team members right here, coming from Michigan for this big event, mother-daughter. They'll be right here in the studio. And a lot of you know them and will enjoy listening to them next week. So thank you all for listening. It's been a really good show. It just seems like they get better and better, because we're just drawing closer to God. So they got to get better. And if you want to experience the anointing of God and a powerful healing move, come next Sunday. Join us in our new facility. It's not huge, just big enough for us. And we may outgrow it and have multiple services someday. You never know.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater, Florida. Hope to see you next Sunday morning. Make yourself known. We'll have some name tags, I think, Pastor Jim. We need to have some name tags for next week. Anyway, everybody's welcome. We hope to see you then. God bless you. Have a great week. You got to hear this again, and then we'll get out of here in just a minute. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. God bless you.
Oh, give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus.
I'm Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM.